بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our 21st session, reading from the شرح or explanation of العقيدة الواسطية, شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله, and the commentary of الإمام عبد العزيز ابن باز رحمه الله. Tonight, بإذن الله تعالى, we're going to be doing the last chapter before we go into the second part of the book, which deals with some details of some of the other arkan of Iman, including al-yawm al-akhir and al-Iman bil-qadr wal-qadha and other than that. Before we look at the chapter in front of us for tonight, we want to quickly review some of the points that we discussed last week in the previous session from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 20. The first question being, the mu'allif, the author, begins this chapter mentioning three sources, three references from which we confirm the details of Iman in Allah. List them. What are the three sources that he mentions from which we confirm the details of Iman in Allah? Adam.
The Quran, the Sunnah, and the Sahaba.
Okay, the Quran, the Sunnah, and the Sahaba. Anybody want to help us a little bit on that point? Naam, Ahmed. Al-Ijma'. Yani, more specifically, yani that is bring us a little bit closer, and you want to add to it?
What is narrated from the Prophet ﷺ in mutawatir form?
Okay, what is narrated from the Prophet in mutawatir form? Naam. Anything else? Naam. Abdul Ali.
The hadith,
and that which the Salaf have agreed upon. So, yani, all of these answers are all correct, but yani, we're just trying to get to a little bit more preciseness. In terms of the actual wording that the Shaykh mentioned, he said that which, yani, he said the Quran and the Hadith, and he said that which the Salaf agreed upon. So, yani, the Shaykh, he says, the first thing is what? That which we Allah informed us of in His book. That's the Quran. And that which has been narrated by mutawatir Hadith, yani from the Sunnah. And in other places he said the Sunnah Sahiha. Yani, what is important? It's mutawatir or it's Sahih. And it's equal in terms of it being acceptable. And the last thing he said, that which was agreed upon by consensus, yani ajma alayhi salaf al ummah, yani that which the salaf of this ummah have reached agreement upon. Naam, unanimous agreement upon. The second question, memorize an ayah. Yani the ayah that the Shaykh mentions from 57th surah, 4th ayah, which combines the mention of Allah's ulu and His ma'iyah. Yani combines the mention of these two things that some people might imagine are contradictory, you know, not compatible. Anybody memorize this ayah? Allahu Akbar. Fadl. You didn't raise your hand, but your hand calls for it. هو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام. I didn't hear you good. يعني the ayah in which Allah mentions هو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام ثم استوى على الأرش. This is the first thing that he mentions that we are talking about here. He combines between Allah's ulu ثم استوى على الأرش. He ascended above the throne, and then he says يعلم ما يلج في الأرض وما يخرج منها وما ينزل من السماء وما يعرج فيها وهو معكم أينما كنتم. That's the second matter that's mentioned in this ayah that he combines between in this ayah. Allah's ascending above the throne, His Highness, and Allah's being with you wherever you may be. What is important about this ayah is that the issue of there being no contradiction between Allah being high above the throne, above the heavens, and being with you, yani, is, yani resolved here. While Allah has mentioned both of these two things in one ayah, showing that it couldn't possibly be any contradiction between them, in addition to other points that the Shaykh has made about this. But it's important for this particular point that we memorize some evidences that clarify conclusively points that are important in our aqidah. The third question, the mu'allif, the author says, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ, yani in that ayat, and he is with you. In the above ayat, he says that this does not mean that Allah is, na'am,
within the creation.
It doesn't mean that Allah is within the creation, that he's mixed with the creation, that he's mingling in with the creation, that he becomes a part of the creation. It doesn't mean that. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ, it doesn't mean that Allah, yani, is mixed in with the creation. But in fact, we know that Allah is completely separate and distinct from the creation. The fourth question, discuss the example given by the Mu'allif, which shows that Allah's being with you does not have to mean what they claim. Yani, the example that the author gives here to show that what they claim, yani, that Allah being with you does not have to mean what they claim. Pia. I didn't hear the last what you said. Now, he gave the example of the moon, which he said is an ayah min ayatillah. It is from the smallest of Allah's creations. And yet the moon has been placed in the heavens, in the sky above us, and it is with you wherever you may be. He said it is with the traveler and the non-traveler. Yani in the night, if a person was traveling from one place to another, yani he will see the moon in the middle of the month and a full moon, he will see the moon from where he started, and he will see the moon while he's traveling, and he'll see the moon when he reaches his destination. Meaning that, yani, there's no contradiction even in the physical creation. It's possible that something in the physical creation could be high above, distance from you, and at the same time be with you. How much more so then for Allah the Creator, who's not subject to, and what the creation is subject to. Question number five. From the false beliefs that the Mu'allif warns against, he warns against, from the false beliefs that the author warns against, is that Allah being fi sama could mean the heavens what? Yani, some of the deviants claim that Allah, yani, being fi sama means what? And he says, yani, he warns us against this idea. That, you know, help me with your name. Muhammad. That's too easy, right? Allahu Akbar. Okay, Muhammad and Muhammad. Is there another Muhammad? Plenty, yeah? Hey, I'm Muhammad too, Abu Muhammad. Fadl, Fadl Muhammad.
That the heavens are carrying him or covering him, and that he is inside the heavens.
Naam, that the people, some people claimed falsely that Allah being fi as-samaa would indicate that the heavens, that he's in the heavens, the heaven is above him, covering him, sheltering him, and it is below him, carrying him. And this is a false belief that the people of deviation invented. Question number six. Mention the statement of Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah, and others of the Salaf concerning Allah being above the heavens. What did Abdullah ibn Mubarak say concerning Allah being above the heavens? Naam, Muhammad.
He said, na'arifu Rabbana bi'annahu fawqa samawatih. We know our Lord that he is above his heaven. Fawqa arshihi ba'in khalfih. Above his throne, separate from his creation, وَعِلْمُهُ فِي كُلِّ مَكَانٍ.
His knowledge is in every place. Now, any the statement of Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah, is a statement of principle, yani that the Salaf understood. He stated it and others stated it, and that is, we know, نَعْرِفُ رَبَّنَا, yani we know Allah, our Rabb. We believe, it is our aqidah, that he is above the heavens, that he is above his arsh, and he is ba'inun min khalqihi, but he is completely distinct and separate from the creation. But rather, his ilm, yani, is in every place. This issue we have discussed on more than one occasion during the past, yani, sessions, last few months, and it does require some more discussion, but now is not the time for it. But I do encourage you to read further about this particular matter. Especially some of the more detailed explanations of Al-Aqidah Al-Wasatiyah and other books of Aqidah, to understand this a little bit Better. Now, question number 7. How has the Shari, the explainer of the text, explained what is meant by Allah being described as ba'in min khalqihi? Yani, how has Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz explained what is the meaning of Allah being ba'in min khalqihi? That's Ahmed, right? Ahmed. Completely distinct. What else did he say? Naam. That's the core of what he said. Yani huwa munfasil. He is distinct, separate. Completely separate from the creation. Naam. What is your name?
Saud.
Saud? You're going to help me with that one, mashallah. Saud.
The Allah
Faith. MashaAllah. That's better than reading. Perfect. Perfect. Yani nothing of Allah's divine being is inside of the creation. And nothing of the creation is inside of Allah's divine being. Yani this is the meaning of what? Being munfasil. Completely separate and distinct. There's the Khaliq, the creator, and everything else is separate from him. The Khalq, the creation. Naam. Ameen. Okay, there's no comparison. We shouldn't make examples of things in the creation, comparing them to the qualities or characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last question, the Shari explained of the text, closes mentioning that this aqidah is affirmed in the book, the sunnah, and the ijma of the salaf of the ummah. Who does he mean by the salaf? Who does he mean by the salaf? Naam, Dawood. Okay, the Sahaba, and he said, Ashab and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa man ba'dahum. Yani meaning, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the next generation after them, the Tabi'un, and those who follow them, Atba' Tabi'in, and whoever followed in their way, yani upon that which they were upon, of their Aqidah and their Ibadah and the rest of the Deen. Naam. The last question is important to me because it's important that we remind ourselves and remember that this expression, as-salaf, first of all, yani it's not a new expression that was just discovered by some people in recent times. It's something that was, it's an expression that was known from the beginning. Even there are authentic narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam using this expression and his companions using this expression and the imams who came after them. And Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, in his tafsir mentions it innumerable times throughout his tafsir. This is not a new term, and it's important for us to understand in the historical context that this is an expression that's very, very important. It refers to the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those who followed in their way after them. And it's important that we understand yani, the meaning, what is intended here, and its importance. Yani, when we say the Salaf, we're talking about people who are to be followed. Yani the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those who followed in their way. Okay, that being said, let's move on to today's discussion. So as I mentioned earlier, this is the last of the detailed discussions or chapters related to what most of this book is about, that is, the matters related to the sifat of Allah, the asma and sifat of Allah. And after this, yani the second part of the book, we're going to be looking at some other fundamental matters that are very, very important in the deen, including some of the arkan of iman. So I'm not really sure what page we're on in English. I forgot to check. Anybody can help us? What page? 144. Type. In Arabic, we're going to be reading from page 77, and in English, from page 144. So the title of this chapter, Al-Imanu Bikurbihi La Yunafi Uluwahu Wa Fawqiyatahu. So this chapter heading is in two parts. The first part is Al-Iman Bikurbihi, having Iman in Allah's nearness, being near to the creation. That having Iman in Allah's nearness, La Yunafi Uluwahu Wa Fawqiyatahu, it doesn't contradict It's not inconsistent or incompatible with His highness and His being above the creation. There's no contradiction between them, these two things. And this, in comparison to the previous chapter, was wujub al-iman, أن الله فوق السماوات مستوٍ على عرشه وأنه ما خلقه بعلمه. And the previous chapter had a similar title heading. Had a similar title heading. The obligation of having iman, that Allah is above the heavens and He is, yani, risen above His arsh, and that He is with the creation by His knowledge. And the difference, the fine point of difference between these two chapters is that the previous chapter is talking about having iman, yani, in the fact that Allah is above the creation, that it doesn't contradict Him being with the creation. And in this chapter we're talking about, there's no contradiction between Allah being above the creation and being near to His creation. So Allah being with the creation is confirmed in the Quran and Sunnah. And Allah being near to the creation is also confirmed. And these are two points that are close, but they are not exactly the same. And that's the point that we want to bring out here. The difference between these two titles. The second part of this title, وَأَنَّ الْقُرْآنَ كَلَامُهُ مِنْهُ نَزَلَ. And also having iman in the fact that the Qur'an is His speech, is the speech of Allah, and it descended from Him, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mu'allif, that is Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah rahimahullah, says, وَقَدْ دَخَلَ فِي ذَلِكَ الْإِيمَانِ بِأَنَّهُ قَرِيبٌ مُجِيبٌ كَمَا جَمَعَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ فِي قَوْلِهِ. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah 186 ayah, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِ عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. And Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah says here, وَقَدْ دَخَلَ فِي ذَلِكَ الْإِيمَانِ. Also a part of that iman that we have been discussing, yani the iman in Allah, that this book is about, from the beginning until now. Yani iman in Allah and His asma and His sifat. A part of that, iman in Allah and His asma and sifat, is believing that Allah is qareebun, near, and He is mujibun, and He answers the call of the one who calls upon Him. And this has been combined in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, the meaning of which is, Allah is saying to the Prophet that if my worshippers ask you about me, Allah answers Himself saying, indeed, I'm near. And I answer the supplication of the one who calls upon me when he calls upon me. So part of the requirement of having iman in Allah and His asma and His sifat is, from the sifat of Allah, is that He is any near, and that He answers the supplication of one when they call upon Him. Then he mentions the hadith that we mentioned previously, not very long ago, the saying of the Prophet ﷺ to his companions, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, when he heard them raising their voice with dhikr, with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he heard them raising their voice, he said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ اِرْبَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ. O people, be gentle with yourselves, be easy. فَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَدَعُونَ أَصَمَّ وَلَا غَائِبًا. But you're not calling upon one who is asam, who is what? Who can't hear. Nor are you calling upon one who is, yani, absent, who is not absent. You don't need to raise your voice. إِنَّمَا تَدَعُونَ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا قَرِيبًا. In fact, rather you are calling upon one who hears everything, and who sees everything, and who is near. And this is the point of the hadith. The shahid is in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is referring to Allah as being one who is near. And then he goes on to say, إِنَّ الَّذِي تَدَعُونَهُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَىٰ أَحَدِكُمْ مِنْ عُنُقِ رَاحِلَتِهِ. That indeed, you are calling upon He who is nearer to one of you than the neck of his riding animal. Then Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah says, after mentioning this ayah and this hadith, which are affirming Allah's nearness, that Allah is near while He is high, above the heavens and above the creation and above the throne, that he is near. He says, وَمَا ذُكِرَ فِي الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ مِنْ قُرْبِهِ وَمَعِيَّتِهِ لَا يُنَافِي مَا ذَكَرَهُ مِنْ عُلُوِهِ وَفَوْقِيَّتِهِ. And in some of the transcripts or manuscripts of this book, يعني the wording is slightly different but the same meaning. يعني ما ذكر في الكتاب والسنة من قربه ومعيته لا ينافي ما ذكر من علوه وفوقيته. And there's no difference in the meaning. يعني what has been mentioned in the book and the sunnah concerning Allah being near and His being with the creation doesn't contradict that which has been mentioned of His highness being high and His being above the creation. Why so? Why is there no contradiction between them? فَإِنَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ فِي جَمِيعِ نُعُوتِهِ وَهُوَ عَلِيٌّ فِي دُنُوِّهِ وَقَرِيبٌ فِي أُلُوِّهِ. And this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is nothing like Him in all or any of His characteristics or qualities. And there is no resemblance between the characteristics and qualities of Allah and that of the created beings. So what the human beings or created beings are subject to, yani Allah is not subject to that. There's nothing like Him. And then he states, what? وَهُوَ عَلِيٌّ. Allah is high. He is عَلِيٌّ. فِي دُنُوِهِ. Yani His being near to the creation, He is high at the same time. Yani this quality or characteristic of being high is from the sifat al-dhatiyya. As-sifat al-dhatiyya, which means what? That what? There are characteristics of Allah that are always true. That are always with Him. That are inseparable from Him. They are characteristics of His divine being. They're not things that He does when He wills or... No, they are characteristics or qualities that He's described with all the time. Inseparable. As opposed to His sifat al-fi'liyya. Which are related to the qualities and characteristics of His actions. That He does whenever He wills. So ulu, His ulu, is from the qualities of His that. Yani His sifat al-dhatiyya. Inseparable from Him. So if He is near, He is still high, even in His nearness. He is high, even in His nearness. And He is near in His highness. And there's no contradiction between them. That's the point. Then, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, and in the second part of this chapter, the second part of the title, that the Quran is the speech of Allah, he says, وَمِنَ الْإِيمَانِ بِاللَّهِ وَكُتُبِهِ. And from that which is part of Iman in Allah and His books, is al-iman bi anna al-Qur'an kalamullah. Part of iman in Allah and His books is having iman in the reality or the fact that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah. The Qur'an is the speech of Allah. And here Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentions several points. The first of them is iman in reference to iman in the books of Allah. It is required for us to have iman that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah. Secondly, that the Qur'an is munazzal. It is revealed, it is sent down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thirdly, غَيْرُ makhluq. It is not created. And he's saying this because he is addressing or referring to or refuting or clarifying the correct aqidah concerning the Qur'an. Each of these points are points about which people deviated. So he's saying that from part of iman in the books of Allah and Allah in the books of Allah is that we believe that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah. That it is revealed, sent down. It is غير مخلوق. It is not created. And Sheikh Salih Fawzan says concerning this, that the Qur'an is not created, he says that's because the Qur'an is the speech of Allah. It's a sifa from the sifat of Allah. The Qur'an is from the speech of Allah. And Allah's speech is from His sifat, His qualities and characteristics. And the sifat of Allah are not created. And therefore, His speech, the Qur'an, is not created. And then he says, مِنْهُ بَدَعَ وَإِلَيْهِ يَعُودِ. And the Qur'an, it was initiated, it came, it started from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it will return to Him. And in other words, the Qur'an is the speech of Allah. He is the one who spoke with this speech. It came from Him and it will return to Him. And some of the scholars explained returning to Him in more than one way. And from amongst the explanations of it returning to him is that the Quran in the last days, from the signs of the last days, is that the Quran will be removed from the earth. That it will be removed from the hearts of the human beings who memorize it, and removed from the pages of the Mus'haf. The Quran will return to Allah. That's one of the signs of the last day that the scholars mentioned, that this is one of the clearest meanings of what is intended here by Yani, it will return to him. Then he says, وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَكَلَّمَ بِهِ حَقِيقَةً, and that Allah spoke with the words of the Quran. That is his speech, he spoke with these words, حَقِيقَةً, in reality. And this is Yani also Yani a refutation against those who claim that Yani the Quran is not really the speech of Allah. And Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, in the few lines that remain, he refers to some of the deviant thoughts related to the Quran, and he doesn't discuss them in great detail. And it may be worth a person going back and looking at some of what he mentioned here and what he's referring to in some detail. But it's not a necessity. What is important and what is necessary is that we know when he says, Yani for example, when he says that Allah spoke the words of the Quran in reality, so whoever says something different, and he says it's allegorical or figurative or something like that, we know that, that's deviation. That's what's important to know. What is the correct aqidah? As far as the details of the deviations, maybe we won't know them. If a person is able to know them, then it's worth knowing. So 5 points he mentioned here before he goes on. He says, part of iman in Allah and his books is iman, believing that the Quran is, number one, the speech of Allah. Number two, that it's revealed. Number three, that it's not created. Number four, that the Quran came from him and it will return to him. And number five, that Allah spoke with the Quran haqiqatan, in reality, real speech. And then he goes on to say, وَأَنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَهُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ هُوَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ حَقِيقَةً. Any which is sort of somewhat repetition of what he just said. That this Quran, specifically, now he's being more specific, this Quran, which was sent down, revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is, this Quran, it is the speech of Allah in reality. لا كلام غيره. It's not the speech of someone else. It's not the speech of Jibril, who conveyed it to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not the speech of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who conveyed it to the people. Even if there are ayats in the Quran that mention that the Quran is the word, the qawl of Rasul Kareem. And in one of those ayats referring to the Prophet. And another of those ayats referring to the angel Jibril. Here Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah is going to clarify this matter so that there's no confusion about it. هُوَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ حَقِيقَةً. It is in reality the speech of Allah. It is not the speech of anyone other than Allah. وَلَا يَجُوز إِطْلَاقَ الْقَوْلِ بِأَنَّهُ هِكَايَةٍ عَنْ كَلَامِ اللَّهِ أَوْ تَعْبِيرٌ عَنْهُ. And it's not permissible for somebody to say in the absolute sense, unrestricted statement, that the Qur'an is a يعني hikaya, a narrative from يعني a narrative concerning the speech of Allah. No, the Qur'an is the speech of Allah itself. It's not something Yani, that is an imitation or repetition or replication of the speech of Allah. The Qur'an is the speech of Allah itself. And the reason why he's saying that, because there's a group of people who deviated, who said that the Qur'an is hikaya, an kalamullah. The Qur'an is not actually the speech of Allah, but it's a narrative concerning the speech of Allah. Nor is it ta'abir anhu. Yani, nor is it an expression of the speech of Allah. Rather, the Qur'an is the speech of Allah. That's the point. And that's what we need to know. And as far as the Kulabiyya and the Asha'ira who hold these views, that is Hikaya or that is Ta'biyya, yani the details of what they believe is just false. And Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah is just saying, it's not that. So if you read that or if you hear that, know that that is false. That the Qur'an is the speech of Allah. It's not a Hikaya, a narrative. It's not a Ta'biyya, an expression of the speech of Allah. It is in fact the speech of Allah. بَلْ إِذَا قَرَأَهُ النَّاسِ أَوْ كَتَبُوهُ فِي الْمَصَاحِفِ لَمْ يَخْرُجْ بِذَلِكَ أَنْ يَكُونَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى حَقِيقَةً. He said, even if it is read, and if the people read the Qur'an, or they write it in the written copies, the Musahif, the handwritten or printed copies on pages of the Musahif, even if it is read, even if it is written, this does not remove it from being the speech of Allah in reality. In reality. And there really does require some discussion concerning this. He doesn't go into any detail. If there's time, inshallah, we'll just look at it briefly. Yani that which is written, and that which is read or recited, and that which is memorized, and that which is heard, is the Qur'an, is the speech of Allah. Even if the hearts that memorize it are created, even if the ears that hear it are created, even if the fingers and the pens and the ink and paper that is written on, even if those things are created, that which is written is the speech of Allah. And that's important to understand, so that we don't fall into the deviation of those people who said it's not the speech of Allah. And again, it requires some discussion. In any case, the Qur'an being recited, or being heard, or being memorized, or being written, doesn't remove it from being the speech of Allah in reality. فَإِنَّ الْكَلَامِ إِنَّمَا يُضَافْ حَقِيقَةً إِلَى مَنْ قَالَهُ مُبْتَدِئًا لَا إِلَى مَنْ قَالَهُ مُبَلِّغًا مُؤَدِّيًا. So here is another point, a proof from Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, that the speech, that any speech is connected or related or attributed in reality to the one who said it first. Not to the one who conveys it to others, who passes it on. But rather the original speaker, yani the speech is attributed to the original speaker, not to the one who just conveyed it. وَهُوَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ حُرُوفُهُ مَعَانِهِ. And this Qur'an is the speech of Allah. Its letters, the words, the expressions, as well as the meanings of those words. All of it is the speech of Allah. And here again he's referring to, yani some of the deviants who claim that, yani the Qur'an, yani is huruf with any letters or words without meanings. And the other people had the opposite meaning, it's meanings without words. And all of this is from the deviation that Shaykh al-Islam to me is just passing by mentioning. All of this is false. That rather the speech of Allah, the Qur'an is the speech of Allah, its wordings as well as its meanings. وَلَيْسَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ الْحُرُوفُ دُونَ الْمَعَانِي. Yani which, yani the speech of Allah, he's saying, is not letters, yani words, without their meanings, without their meanings, which was the view of the Mu'tazila, which was the view of the Mu'tazila. Nor is it وَلَا مَعَانِي دُونَ الْحُرُوفِ. Nor is it meanings that are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without wordings, which was the view of the Kulabi and the Asha'ira. And all of this, as I mentioned in the beginning, requires some, it would be beneficial, no doubt, if whoever had the ability or the time to go back and look at some of it and see some of the details of what he is referring to here. This is what Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah says. And what remains is the discussion, brief discussion from Musharih, the one who is explaining this text, that is Al-Imam Abdulaziz Ibn Baz, rahimahullah. And he says in his explanation, يبين المؤلف رحمه الله أنه دخل في الإيمان بالله وأسمائه وصفاته وأيضا الإيمان بأنه قريب مجيب سبحانه وتعالى. يعني that the author Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah رحمه الله is making clear that part of having Iman in Allah and His names and His sifat, His characteristics or qualities, is also to have iman in these specifics of his qualities or characteristics, that he is qareeb, that he is near, and that he is mujib, that he answers subhanahu wa ta'ala, anyone who calls upon him. فَقَوْنُهُ عَالِيًا فَوْكَ الْعَرْشِ لَا يَمْنَعُ مِنْ قَوْنِهِ قَرِيبًا مُجِيبًا سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Yani the fact that he is high above the throne doesn't prevent him from being near to his creatures, and doesn't prevent him from answering their call. For indeed, he is, كما ذكر المؤلف, as the author said, عَلِيٌّ فِي دُنُوِّهِ وَقَرِيبٌ فِي عُلُوِهِ. That he is high. He is Al-Ali. He is high, very high. Even in his being described as being near, in his nearness. And he is near even in his description, being described as being high. No contradiction between them. For indeed he is قَرِيبٌ مُجِيب. وهو العلي الأعلى سبحانه وتعالى فوق العرش فوق جميع السماوات فوق جميع الخلائق. فإنديل الله سبحانه وتعالى he is, from his names is he is العلي and الأعلى, and he is high and he is the most high and he is above the throne and he is above all of the heavens and he is above all of the creation, everything in existence. ولهذا قال تعالى. And for this reason, Allah the Most High said, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبُ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. That when my worshippers ask you about me, indeed I am near and I answer the supplication of the one who calls upon me when he calls. Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 186 ayah. فَهُوَ سُبْحَانَهُ قَرِيبٌ مِنْ دَاعِيهِ مُجِيبٌ لِعِبَادِهِ جَلَّ وَعَلَى. إذا اقتضت حكمته أو حكمته إجابتهم. يعني this last expression here I think is omitted from the English translation if I remember correctly, it is. And so it's important to make a note in the English copies of the book that the Shaykh is saying here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is قَرِيبٌ مِنْ دَاعِيهِ. يعني he is near to the one who calls upon him, who supplicates to him. And he is مُجِيب لِعِبَادِهِ. And he answers his worshippers, yani when they call upon him. And then he said, he answers his worship when they call upon him, if and when his wisdom requires him answering them. If and when his wisdom requires him answering them. And that, yani, perhaps is alluding to the fact that sometimes a person supplicates to Allah and what they ask for, they don't see it being answered. And the Prophet ﷺ in an authentic hadith made clear to us that when a person calls upon Allah, Allah will definitely answer them in one of three ways. He will give them what they're asking for at that time, or he will repulse, and he remove, push away from them something evil that was going to befall them equal to what they're asking for, or will be stored up for them as a reward in the next life. In that hadith, the companions, when they heard this, they said, then we will ask Allah a lot. Yani, if it is guaranteed that when we call upon Allah, He's going to answer in one of those ways, then they said, إِذَن نُكْثِرْ. We're going to ask a lot. And I ask myself and all of you, why are we not asking a lot? وَاللَّهُ أَكْثَرْ. The Prophet ﷺ said, as much as you ask Allah, He is more able to answer, more than you can ask. Why then don't we ask? The Shaykh in his explanation, he says, وَهَكَذَا قَوْلُهُ. And similarly to this ayah, that when my worshippers ask you about me, then let them know that I am near and I answer the supplicant when he calls me, he says, yani the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said, the one whom you are calling upon is سَمِيعٌ قَرِيبٌ. And he is the one who hears everything. And he is near. And he is nearer to one of you than the neck of his riding animal. He said this when he heard some of his companions raising their voice while they were traveling. And he also said to them, indeed you are calling upon one, you are not calling upon one who is deaf, and nor are you calling upon one who is absent. Indeed, the one whom you are calling upon is Samiyun Qareeb, he is the one who hears everything and he is near. And in one of the wordings of the hadith, indeed, the one you are calling upon is Samiyun Basirun. سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا قَرِيبًا. He is the one who hears all things, and he is the one who sees all things, and he is the one who is near, and he is nearer to one of you than the neck of his riding animal. So he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَهُوَ سُبْحَانَهُ مَا عُلُوِهِ وَقَوْنِهِ فَوْقَ الْأَرْشِ لَا يَمْنَعُ ذَلِكَ مِنْ قَوْنِهِ قَرِيبًا مُجِيبًا. Yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, along with the fact that he is high, his highness, and him being above the throne, this doesn't yani prevent him from being near and from him answering the call of one who calls upon him. يَسْمَعُ دُعَاءَ الدَّاعِي. He hears the supplication of the one who calls upon him. فَهُوَ سَمِيعُ الدُّعَاءَ قَرِيبٌ قَرِيبُ الْإِجَابَةِ. So he is the one who hears the supplication. And he is the one who is near in answering. And he answers. And he is سَمِيعٌ قَرِيبٌ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَقَدْ قَرَّرَ ذَلِكَ فِي آيَاتٍ كَثِيرَةٍ في وصفه بأنه سميع يسمع السر وأخفى ولا تخفى عليه خافية جل وعلا وهكذا في الأحاديث. So the Shaykh, he closes this point by saying that that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the one who hears and he is the one who is near, and this has been repeated in many ayat of the Quran in descriptions of him as being the one who hears. He hears that which is secret and that which is even more, yani akhfa, hidden, and there's nothing that even is secret that is hidden from him. And this also is the same way it has been mentioned in the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فما ذكر من علوه وفوقيته لا ينافي ما ذكر وما ذكره من دنوه وقربه ومعيته. So whatever has been mentioned concerning His Highness and His being above the creation does not contradict what He has mentioned concerning His closeness and His nearness and His being with the creation. فَهُوَ مَا عِبَادِهِ بِعِلْمِهِ وَاطِّلَاعِهِ. So He is with His worshippers by His knowledge and by Him overseeing or seeing, yani, everything, being aware of everything. And as Allah mentioned in Surah Al-Hadid, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ, and He is with you wherever you may be. Surah Al-Hadid, 4th ayah. وَهُوَ مَا أَوْلِيَائِهِ. And here, yani, this second statement here is in reference to Allah's ma'iyya al-khasa. Yani, the first statement is in reference to His ma'iyya al-ama, that He is with you by His knowledge. And the second type of ma'iyya is ma'iyya al-khasa. He said, وَهُوَ مَا أَوْلِيَائِهِ بِعِلْمِهِ وَحَفْذِهِ وَكِلَاعَتِهِ ونصره وتأييده سبحانه وتعالى. That He is with His awliya, yani the people of iman and taqwa, based on His knowledge, and His protecting and preserving them and guarding them and helping and supporting them and aiding and assisting them. Yani that's the second type of ma'iyya that is special for the people of iman and taqwa. Then the Shaykh, he says, so that which is obligatory upon every believing man and woman. يعني فالواجب على كل مؤمن ومؤمنة الإيمان بذلك. يعني it is obligatory upon every believing man, male or female, to have iman in that which has been mentioned. وأنه سميع قريب, that He is the one who hears everything and He's near. وأن ألوه جل وعلا فوق الأرش لا ينافي قربه من عباده وسماعه دعاءهم. يعني that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His Highness and His being above the throne does not contradict His nearness to His worshippers and His hearing their supplications. Indeed, He is Sami'un Qareeb, the All-Hearer, the One who is near, wa huwa Aliyun Azeem, and He is high and He is great and magnificent, Jalla wa Ala, kama qala subhanahu, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 255th Ayah, وَلَا يَعُودُهُ حَفْظُهُمَا وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. Yani, and the preservation of both of them, the heavens and the earth, does not tire Him, and He is Al-Ali, the Most High, Al-Azim, the Supreme, the Great, the Magnificent. And He also said, Subhanahu, إليه يسعد الكلم الطيب والعمل الصالح يرفعه. And yani, the good word ascends up to Him, and righteous deeds raise it up. And this is in Surah Al-Fatiha, 35th Surah, 10th Ayah. And this is the end of what the Shaykh says about this first part of this chapter. And the second part of the chapter is the part, yani, where he talks about al-iman in Allah and His books. Yani requires having iman in the Quran and those points that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentioned. The commentary is relatively brief. Here the Shaykh repeats some of the points of deviation that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah refers to when he talks about the correct aqidah in the Quran. The Shaykh says in his commentary, وَمِنَ الْإِيمَانِ بِاللَّهِ الْإِيمَانِ بِأَنَّ الْقُرْآنِ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ. Yani part of having iman in Allah is having iman that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah. Yani part of having iman in Allah is believing that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah. Yani that is from the sifat of Allah. That's from one angle. Yani the Qur'an is the speech of Allah. This is in reference to iman in Allah. That is from his sifat that he does speak, that he has spoken, that he will speak, and that he speaks. This is from the sifat of Allah. So from one side, yani iman in the Qur'an requires us to believe that it is from the sifat of Allah, the speech of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَيْضًا مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ بِكُتْبِ اللَّهِ. And also, from iman in the books, the revelations of Allah, yani from another angle, having iman in the Qur'an requires that believing that is from the revelations of Allah. الإيمان بأن القرآن هو كتابه المنزل على عبده ورسوله خاتم النبيين محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام. So from one angle, yani iman in the Quran requires us to believe that it is the speech of Allah, meaning it's from the sifat of Allah. And from another angle, having iman in the Quran is from it being from the iman in the books of Allah. So these are two of the arkan of iman, believing in Allah and believing in his books. So the Quran goes in, is part of both of them. And it's part of believing in having iman in Allah in that, the believing that the Quran is the speech of Allah is from the sifat of Allah. It's from his characteristics or qualities. And from another angle, having iman in the Quran requires us to believe that is from the books that was revealed. And that's from the arkan of iman as well. That is from the iman, بِأَنَّ الْقُرْآنَ هُوَ كِتَابُهُ الْمُنَزَّلُ عَلَى عَبْدِهِ. That it is his book, which he has revealed upon his worshipper and his messenger, the seal of the prophets, Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. وَهُوَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ حُرُوفُهُ وَمَعَانِيهِ. And here he is saying, he's telling us the correct aqidah concerning the Qur'an, that it is the speech of Allah, its letters, its wordings, and its meanings. Because some of the deviants said that, yani, the wordings are the Qur'an without meanings. And some of them said the meanings without the wordings. Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah is saying that the Qur'an, the speech of Allah, is words, and those words have meanings. And all of that is from the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَجِبُ الْإِيمَانِ بِأَنَّهُ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ مُنَزَّلٌ غَيْرُ مَخْلُوقٌ. So it is obligatory to believe that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah, and that it is revealed, and that it is not created, and that it is not created. Because some of the people said the Qur'an is created. And this was the great fitna due to which many of the scholars of Islam were punished and tortured and imprisoned, including Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, who was from amongst the foremost of them, standing up, refusing to say that the Qur'an was created. Refusing to say that the Qur'an is created. To that extent, that people were imprisoned shows the importance of this matter. That the Muslim scholars, the people of Sunnah, were ready to go to prison. They were ready to be tortured. They were ready to be killed to uphold this truth that the Qur'an is not created. And they refused to say it was created. And today we find maybe that people are taking the matter lightly. What difference does it matter, created or not created? So what? People have different opinions. The Qur'an is not created. The Qur'an is the speech of Allah. If we believe the Qur'an is the speech of Allah, as Shaykh Salih Fawzan said, if we believe that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah, then Allah's speech is from his sifat. And Allah's sifat are not created. And therefore, the Qur'an cannot be created. Allah's sifat are inseparable from him. And as we mentioned earlier, that Allah is what? بَعِنٌ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ. That means that nothing of Allah is in the creation and nothing of the creation is in Allah. There's nothing in the creation that's part of the Creator. And there's nothing in the Creator that's from the creation. There's خَالِق and مَخْلُوق. The Creator and the creation. Completely separate. So he says, هو كلام الله حروفه ومعانيه يجب الإيمان بأنه كلام الله منزل غير مخلوق منه بدا وإليه يعود. It came from him initially and it will return to him. And also it is obligatory to have iman. وأن قونه يكتب في المصاحف ويقرأ ويحفظ لا ينافي ذلك. And the fact that the Quran is written in the masahif, the written copies, and that it is read or recited, and that it is memorized, does not contradict that. And it does not contradict the fact that the Quran is the speech of Allah. فَهُوَ مَحْفُوظٌ فِي الصُّدُورِ. Yani the Quran is memorized in the chest, in the hearts of the human beings. And those hearts are created. But that which is memorized in the heart is not created. It's the speech of Allah. It's the Quran. وَمَكْتُوبٌ فِي الصُّحُفِ. And it is written in the scrolls or in the written copies. And that paper and that ink and that pen and the hand of the one who wrote is created. But that which is written is the speech of Allah. It's not created. And it's masmu'un bil adhan. And it is heard by the ears. And the ears are created, but that which they hear is the speech of Allah. The Quran is not created. وَهُوَ مَا هَذَا هُوَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ. In spite of this, that it is memorized in the hearts of created human beings, and it is written on paper that is created, and it is heard by ears that are created, in spite of that, it is still the speech of Allah, جَلَّ وَعَلَى حُرُوفُ وَمَعَنِي, its wordings as well as its meanings. وَلَا يَجُوزْ إِطْلَاقَ الْقَوْلِ بِأَنَّهُ هِكَايَةً عَنْ كَلَامِ اللَّهِ. And it is not permissible to hold this opinion, to say that it is just a narration about the speech of Allah, nor to say that it is an expression expressing the speech of Allah, as the Yani Kulabiyya and the Ashaya said that the speech of Allah is the meanings that are in Allah's nafs, in His self. And the Quran is an expression of those meanings that are in Allah. No, the Quran is the speech of Allah. He said it is not permissible to say that it is just a narration of the speech of Allah, meaning referring to the Yani Kulabiyya, who said that the speech of Allah is actually the meanings that are with Allah. And these words that are written or recited or that we hear are just a hikaya, a narration concerning the speech of Allah. Rather, these words are the speech of Allah. The Quran is the speech of Allah. It's not just an expression concerning the speech of Allah, as he said, was said by the Asha'ira and غيرهم من الكلابية and others besides them, Jahmiyyah and Mu'tazila, who hold these false beliefs concerning the Quran. بل هو كلام الله حروفه ومعانيه. Rather, it is the speech of Allah, its letters, its words, and its meanings. ليس تعبير عن كلام الله. It's not just an expression about the speech of Allah, which they claim the speech of Allah is just the meanings that are with Allah. It's not just an expression concerning the speech of Allah, nor is it just a narration of the speech of Allah. بل هو نفسه كلام الله. Rather, it is, yani the Quran, it is itself the speech of Allah. فقوله سبحانه. So the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, here he mentions different ayahs from the Quran saying that these are all the speech of Allah. That these are all the speech of Allah. And he says, he mentions, for example, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 255th ayat, Allahu la ilaha illahu al-hayyul qayyum. That these words and their meanings are actually the speech of Allah. And in Allah, there is nothing that deserves to be worshipped except Him, the one who has perfect life and the one who maintains everything in existence. This is Kalamullah. And these words, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, in Surah Al-Fatiha, this is the Kalam of Allah. La ya'udhu hafdhuhuma, yani in Surah Al-Baqarah. These are actually, this is the speech of Allah, the words of Allah. All of the ayat and all of this speech, all of it is the kalam of Allah, the speech of Allah from the beginning of it until the end of it, its letters, yani wordings, and its meanings. The speech of Allah is not just huruf dun al-ma'ani, yani letters or words separate from their meanings, which is the saying of the Mu'tazila, that is just huruf, words without meanings. Nor is it al-ma'ani dun al-huruf, nor is it meanings without, yani letters, without words, which is the deviation of the Kulabiyya and the Asha'ira. And then he says, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, Surah Al-Baqarah, yani Allah, there is nothing deserved to worship except Him, the all-living, the self-subsisting, wa hadha kalamullah. He said, this is the speech of Allah, and its meanings Its meanings are al-hayat. Yani it indicates, yani al-hayy indicates that, yani the meaning of it is that he has perfect life. Wal-qayyumiyya means that Allah is the one who upholds and maintains everything in the creation. Wal-hifz, wal-kila'a, meaning that Allah is the one who protects and guards and preserves. All of this is the speech of Allah the Most High. And then he mentions from Surah Al-Anbiya the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Kul man yakla'ukum bil-layli wal-nahar min ar-Rahman. Who is it that can protect and preserve you during the night and the day from ar-Rahman? And then he mentions also from Surah Al-Fatir, 35th Surah, 10th Ayat, إِلَيْهِ يَصْعَدُ الْكَلِمَ الطَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُهُ. And up to him ascends the good word and deeds, good righteous deeds raise it up. And he says also, he mentions from Surah Al-Ghafir, 12th Ayat, فَالْحُكْمُ لِلَّهِ الْعَلِيَ الْكَبِيرُ, yani that the judgment, the final judgment is with Allah, the Most High, the Great. إِنَّهُ سَمِيعٌ قَرِيبٌ. Qareeb, he is the one who hears and who is near. From Surah Al-Saba, 50th Ayat, إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ, that indeed Allah is the one who hears and who knows. From Surah Al-Baqarah, 181st Ayat, وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ, and indeed Allah is the most compassionate and most merciful. Surah Al-Nur, 20th Ayat, فَكَلَامُ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانُهُ يَشْمَعُ الْحُرُوفُ وَالْمَعَانِي عِنْدَ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ وَفَّقَ اللَّهِ الْجَمِيعَ. So the speech of Allah, يعني, according to the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, includes the huruf and the ma'ani. It includes the letters, يعني, the wordings, as well as their meanings. May Allah grant success to all. And I know it's time for the adhan, so I'm going to suffice to say that because of the time restraints, I'm going to definitely encourage whoever is able to go back to sources that we referred to in the past, some of the other explanations of Aqeedah al-Wasitiyya, to look at. For those who need some details and who would like to understand a little bit better what are these deviations that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah is referring to, then I would suggest that we go back to first the explanation of al-Wasitiyya by Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, which is a moderate explanation, much more detailed than what we have been reading. He actually explains these deviations, the Qulabiyya, what exactly was their belief concerning the Qur'an, the Ash'ira, what exactly was their belief concerning the Qur'an, the Mu'tazila and the Jahmiyyah. He explains each one of them one by one, what did they believe concerning the Qur'an. And even though the English translation of Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan's book on this topic, because of the detailed meticulousness of what he discussed here, is difficult to follow clearly. It might not be, yani, it might not help so much, because yani, some of the translation is not that really clear, and some of it actually has some mistakes in it. But in any case, yani, if somebody is able to go back to the Arabic, or even the English, but if somebody is able to go back to Arabic, it definitely would be beneficial. And also, I also recommend and encourage that we go back to the explanation of Shaykh al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, which is extremely much more detailed and brings a lot of benefits. And finally, I also refer you to in Arabic, Alam al-Sunnah al-Manshura by Sheikh Hafiz Ahmed al-Hakami, and it's translated, I think the translation is called 200 Questions and Answers in Aqeedah. And in the 83rd question, he asks, what is the ruling concerning a person who says that the Quran is created? And he gives a beautiful answer that is, and he almost two pages, but he really explains it in a way that is unique. And some of what we read tonight is included in what he says, but it's more detailed and more clear. And I think if a person is able to go back to Alam al-Sunnah al-Manshura by Hafiz al-Hakami, or go back to what I think is translated as 200 Questions and Answers in Aqeedah, in English translation, question 83 is really a very, very beautiful answer concerning this issue of creation of the Qur'an not being created. And he explains it very, very well and gives good examples and gives good references, yani, to the Qur'an that is written, that is recited, that's memorized, that's heard, and the ayahs in the Qur'an that mention, for each of those points, an ayah in the Qur'an that mentions the Qur'an has been memorized in the hearts of the human beings, that it is recited on the tongues of the human beings, that it is written in the Masahif, yani, that it is heard by the people. Ayahs to show that the Qur'an is heard. and the Quran is written, and the Quran is recited, and the Quran is memorized, and even though it's memorized in the heart of a human being, it's still Quran. It's the speech of Allah. And even though it's heard with the ears of a human being, that which is heard is the Quran. And the Quran clearly, yani, states this, and Hafidh al-Hakami brings these points out very, very beautifully. He mentions the references, and he mentions, yani, some clarity concerning this point. And he closes by saying that whoever says the Quran or any part of the Quran is created, فَهُوَ كَافِرْ كُفْرًا أَكْبَرْ يُخْرِجُهُ مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ بِالْكُلِّيَّةِ And either whoever says that the Quran or any part of the Quran is created, then he is a kafir. Major kufr that removes a person totally from Islam. So this is a dangerous matter we need to understand, and we shouldn't take the matter lightly. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone, and that He recognize, record and reward our good deeds, and that He pardon, forgive and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that He grant us al-thabat, steadfastness upon the Sirat al-Mustaqim, until we return to Him in a condition in which we are pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. And may He grant any complete and speedy cure to those amongst us who are sick, and shower His rahmah upon those who have passed away, and fill their graves with light and make them spacious.
Amen.
And may He rescue and protect and preserve those amongst the Muslims, whether in Palestine or elsewhere around the world, who are oppressed, who are being murdered, who are being slaughtered by the enemies of Allah, the enemies of Islam, and our enemies. May Allah protect and preserve them. Indeed, Allah is sufficient for those who believe. And let us play some role and not be passive. Let us play some role in accordance with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated, in doing whatever we're able to do, and not just sit back idly. We shouldn't feel that we are incapable of doing anything. Rather, we can do something. And from the most important of what we can do is get up in the middle of the night or in the times when dua is most likely to be accepted, and supplicate to Allah sincerely. Ameen ya Rabbi.